I'm a zombie! I've been bitten!
You're listening to the Survival Podcast for zombie nerds everywhere. Zombies Ate My Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Zombies Ate My Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Murphy, and joining me, as always, is the busy zombie lord, Lou Page. How's it going, Lou?
I'm sick.
Oh, yes. Lou's not feeling well, but he is here, and we wish him well.
Yeah, forewarning to everybody, I apologize that, A, we're having mic issues with me tonight, and on top of that, baby came home from daycare last week with the cold, and I managed to catch it this week. So I apologize for my voice.
Well, we will make the best of it, and maybe this will cheer you up as well as our listeners, because we have a fun little thing for everybody, and I'm queuing it up right now, so listen to this.
Say bye, Stubbs.
Aww. Jeez. Smack of you. Yeah, that is Stubbs the Zombie, and you're maybe wondering, why is Ryan playing this clip? Well, I'm playing it because we have a copy of Stubbs the Zombie to give away to a listener, and this is just a tease because you should listen to the end of the episode when I tell you how to win this copy. We will give it away next episode, mid-August episode, so look forward to that, as well as finding out how you can enter this random draw by listening all the way through the episode to the very end. This very exciting episode we are going to be talking about. It's all news. All of it is news. So, yeah, let's start.
The virus has completely devastated over 150 of the world's major regions and is spreading rapidly.
Lou, the news. The zombie news. And we kick things off with not HBO's The Last of Us series, but a group of Hollywood visual effects artists have made their own Last of Us fan film. And Lou, I'm wondering if you had a chance to check this out, because it was, I thought, really well done.
I have not, but I have seen some of the stills, and this looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they've... So if you do end up checking it out, it's very heavily based on the video game series. Like, they really focus in on the type of stories that are told in the game, you know, relationships between human characters, and how they're surviving an apocalypse. So it does sort of connect directly to the games. Specifically the second one, you see a older Ellie pick up a guitar and play a song. And that is sort of the connection to the games, but really it focuses on two characters, a male and a female. I don't know if they have names in the series or in the short, but essentially they are two survivors that venture out towards the Santa Monica Pier lights in hope of salvation. And, yeah, it's about their sort of story of survival and how that goes for them. It's very short. It is a short film, about 7 minutes, and included over 100 effect shots that they had to incorporate into this sort of 7-minute short film, and really gives you a good idea of what a Last of Us series could be. I'll say this, like, it's very well done. The effects on the monsters, you know, I feel is like getting close to what I would expect from the HBO series. You know, it's not quite there, but...
I feel like this is a good push in the right direction. This is going to give us all an idea of what we're going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
HBO will, of course, have a bigger budget, but this is the same idea.
Yeah, 100% agree. And it's totally worth checking out. It's getting a lot of praise, including from Duncan Jones, director of the World of Warcraft movie, and also, you know, Naughty Dog folks, as well as some of the folks like I think Luna Gabriel, that is actually going to be in the Last of Us series, he checked it out and he really liked it. So yeah, check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's really well done, and honestly, I love video game fan films. It's really cool to see this work being done. Kind of reminds me of the Nathan Fillion Uncharted short film they did, like sort of similar to, in that vein, where they had to get it out of their system, so they just made this short film, and it's like super well done and feels very close to the video games. And I think once again the community has nailed it with this fan film. Lou, you must have seen this. Marvel Studios' What If shows off more Marvel zombies with new episodes starting on August 10th.
I would suspect that we might get the Marvel zombies as one of the first few episodes of this show.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just to show the craziness of it. So, I mean, I definitely think that this is something we should talk about, because I never will pass up an excuse to talk about Marvel movies. So... when this airs, I definitely think this should be a topic for us. I'm really excited about What If. What If was always one of my favorite comic book lines for Marvel, because it always kind of pushed the boundary. They did one where, like, Wolverine came back as a robot. They did one where, I think, Magneto lost his powers. They did one where Spider-Man never gave up the symbiote. Like, they always do kind of cool stuff. I'm really curious to see where this show is going to go.
Yeah, I agree. I've never read the Marvel Zombies stuff. We've talked about it on the show before, though, how it keeps popping up.
It's not my favorite Marvel work. It's okay. It's very fanficky. But to see it animated in a short these are going to be like 30-minute episodes. If they do a Marvel Zombies 30-minute episode, that's the perfect length for a Marvel Zombie story. 30 minutes. Get me in, get me out.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I think it's going to be really good. In the trailer, the newest trailer that they've posted, and since actually putting this link in here, there's been a couple more developments on the Marvel Zombies side for the What If series. But in the trailer, you see another look at the zombified Captain America, as well as the zombified Iron Man, which we have seen in the past in MCU films with Far From Home. But there is also, and you know, tune out for 30 seconds if you don't want spoilers for one episode of animated series coming up starting now. Spider-Man, we've seen some art with him with a cape, and his official toy labels it as Zombie Hunter Spidey. So that's kind of, we might be getting Spider-Man as the main sort of hero in that little short, or in that episode. So that's exciting too.
Yeah. Like, everything about this is going to be at least fun. So that's, I'll take fun zombies any day of the week.
Yeah. We will certainly talk about it when the episode airs, and when we know sort of the episode sort of release dates. I don't know if they're going to give us titles ahead of time, or we're just going to have to find out each week. I'm down for both. Finding out what the episode is each week kind of sounds like half the fun. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about it when we get to it. Now, Lou, okay, I know you're all over this because I saw it in the Discord. Day of the Dead series from Sci-Fi is arriving in October, and we have our first trailer. And even I know this feels a little out of place in terms of its original sort of inspiration.
I'm not going to tell the fans I hate it, but it makes me very worried. I love Romero's work. It's not, I'll be honest, he's not my favorite anymore, just because everything he does is so very serious. And Day of the Dead is my favorite of his movies, mostly because I think it's very different than the first two films. And I think it's definitely some of his best work, even though it was not as critically acclaimed as some of his earlier work. And it's a serious movie. Sure. All zombie movies make a little bit of jokes. You know, there's jokes in Dawn of the Dead, but it's not a comedy movie. And this movie seems to have more in common with Zombieland than it does Day of the Dead. It feels almost like they're just borrowing the name so they can have something that might get you to watch. I think if this was called anything but Day of the Dead, I think I'd be more excited about it. But it feels like it might be a ham-fisted attempt to get viewers for something that nobody would watch otherwise. I'm not gonna tell you it looks bad. It looks fine, but it's like one-liner after one-liner after one-liner. And like I said, it makes it feel like Zombieland. And when it feels like Zombieland but isn't Zombieland, I worry it's gonna be Z Nation.
That's a really good point. I felt like when I watched this trailer, and someone who remembers Day of the Dead when we watched it for the show, I certainly understand the comparisons to Zombieland, mostly in the fact that this is a zombie show going with a comedic touch. But to me, the comedy fell real flat and felt very cheesy, and that is not a good combo for me. Like I like my zombie content to either be high-end drama and really well done, like parts of The Walking Dead, or really good comedy, you know, like Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead. But when you kind of fall in between those two, it's very hard to catch on. And I'm picky. I know I'm picky when it comes to Walking Dead, and I'm not one to like really, really like the, I guess there's the other end of zombie content, which is like just the really laughable bad stuff that somehow gets a pass.
Like, I like some of the really laughable bad stuff, but mostly because I know the history behind it, or I know the story of somebody that was involved in the movie, or sometimes it's just fun to watch a bad movie. I love bad movies, but I can't sit through a bad TV show because that's 20 episodes of something that's crap. That's not fun to me. That's why I didn't like Z Nation. Sure, Z Nation has an episode here or there that's kind of cool. But to get to those episodes, I got to sit through like 5 of them that are total crap.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a very good point. That is a very good point. And yeah, TV shows are tough.
So is this going to have, does this have potential? Sure. Everything has potential. But I'm going to be skeptical about this until I see it for my own two eyes.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that it's on Sci-Fi, because I don't know if I have any way to watch that besides subscribing to cable, so...
Yeah, Sci-Fi intentionally, I'll never understand. They're streaming everywhere. Sci-Fi still refuses to do anything that isn't cable-related.
Well, one of these days, they'll come around, hopefully, maybe. Hopefully. I'm surprised, honestly, that Sci-Fi isn't like one of those Amazon channels that you can get. Feels like they'd be perfect fit for that sort of stuff.
There's like 4 shows on their network, that their TV network, that I would watch right now, but the only way for me to get them is to buy entire seasons, and I'm not gonna buy a season for 25 or 30 bucks if I don't know if it's any good.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Lou, this is tangentially related to zombies, but there was a zombie in the trailer.
It is related to zombies. They talk about the zombie outbreak, so this is totally something we can talk about.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. The Busy Zombie Lord has declared that we will talk about Army of Thieves, which is the Zack Snyder-produced Army of the Dead prequel coming to Netflix this fall. We got our first trailer. And yeah, you're right. Zombies feature. They talk about the zombie apocalypse. It's happening in America. I think this film is set in Europe. At least that was the idea I got.
I like the preface of it. The reason they're going to rob a vault in Europe is because everybody is glued to the crazy zombie stuff going on in Las Vegas, and that nobody's leaving their houses because they're afraid of zombies and that it might spread. And so I'm like, this is awesome. They're going to basically have like a ghost town where they go and rob a safe. And this could be I love heist movies. So this could be a fun adventure.
Yeah, and it was one of the best characters from Army of the Dead, right? Who we knew wouldn't come back, spoilers, because he died, right? So the fact that he is the center of the prequel is a really cool idea.
Yep. It definitely feels like they came up with this idea because they knew people were going to love his character, and that's fine. I dig his character, so more of him is great.
And it is really intense how quickly this is coming, because we have this prequel, and then I'm pretty sure the animated film is due this year as well, like the animated series, or...
If it's an animated, I think it's a movie, and I think it's coming, if it's not the end of this year, it's going to be first quarter next year. Army of the Dead 2 has already been greenlit, so that's in pre-production now.
6-episode animated series set during the initial zombie outbreak. It has voice actors from a lot of the main show.
Of course it does.
But it doesn't have a release date. So the prequel, Army of Thieves, later in 2021, which we know now is the fall. And it looks like the animated prequel we have no date for, but I would imagine late 2021, early 2022 seems like a solid bet. But yeah, look forward to that fun slowly shambling towards your streaming service in the near future. Lou, this is where we take a bit of a break. And San Diego Comic-Con took place just this past weekend, digitally, of course. And we're going to go over all the Walking Dead news. And to celebrate, I brought this little thing. If that doesn't get you excited, Lou, for Walking Dead, are you excited about Walking Dead? Just hearing that music?
No.
Oh. Okay, let me try this. Oh, that's too quiet. What am I doing here? that do it for you? No?
No.
All right, I've got nothing. Anyways, what about this?
So let's go. You want to go?
All right. Anyways, I'll stop playing with this, and hopefully the long wait for many a things. Well, let's just get right into it. Why am I stalling? There's no reason to stall. I'm guessing you've watched all these, maybe except for one of these trailers, which I did watch for the sake of the show, but I would not blame you if you skipped it.
Watch all of them.
Oh, perfect. Look at you. The busy zombie lord has been busy. Let's kick things off. I've done this chronologically in terms of their release, and we'll start here with The Walking Dead Season 11, Part 1, our first full-fledged trailer. There's been a bunch of like teaser trailers with like characters looking at the camera weirdly and then fading. This is premiering August 22nd. 8 episodes. Yeah, right? 8? There's 8 of them? I think it is 8. Yeah. It's either 8 or 6. I'm pretty sure it's 8.
It's 8, and then we get a part 2 that I think is another 8.
Yeah. And then there is a part 3, because it's a longer season. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're getting part 1 on August 22nd. And this first trailer sort of continues to introduce the Commonwealth, as well as a different big bad, I'm guessing, which are the Reapers, which were introduced in the extended season 10. Lou, I want to get your take, because I kind of get the sense you and I are going to be on the same boat with this one.
What's your take then?
Okay, I'll go first.
You go first, because if you think I'm going to be on the same boat, I don't. I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I personally was looking forward to knowing more about the Commonwealth, but I think the arrival of the Commonwealth has been sort of tainted by the CRM group and what we've seen in The World Beyond. So I'm worried that Commonwealth is just going to be another one of those, maybe less evil, but still one of those. And the introduction of the Reapers is just boring. I think like
it's another group of insane people that are going to run around trying to kill them for no other reason that they're crazy. Yeah. I feel like we're going into, this is supposed to be the last season, and they're doing the mistake that they do with a lot of movies where they feel like they have to keep one-upping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're trying to one-up themselves by being like, look, there's so many more bad guys this season. And it's like, no, tell me a nice, concise story and wrap up this plot.
100%.
And everything I'm seeing is making me question if that's what we're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the same boat. I think, okay, like, you've, for good reasons, I'll say this, bad reasons as well. You've taken some characters out of the main story, and in the case of Rick and Michonne, those are good reasons that they left the show. But in the case of Carl, that's a bad reason. I think we can all agree with the reason that person was shipped out. That was a mistake. But I agree. You did not need to bring the Reapers in. Maggie could have come back for the sole sake of needing to assist with the Whispers. I was completely fine with that, and it made sense. But introducing another big bad while having what is very clearly another big bad, I know in the comics the Commonwealth is kind of like good and bad and ends up being good because of a character that does not exist anymore, multiple characters that don't exist in the show anymore. And we are quickly getting to the end of this show, and we're going to talk about it a little later, but we still don't even have the first Rick movie, which is only supposed to catch us up to, I know they're not going to like resolve the story in the first movie.
It's too complicated right now for us to even fathom where the Rick movie is going to fit and where it's going to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, that's a deterrent. That later in the news, we're going to talk about, they say this Rick movie, first Rick movie, is going to be awesome. I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think as it stands right now, I really don't care.
Right. Because we don't know what it is. We don't, like, when you compare one of the current running best sort of multimedia franchises right now is the MCU. We talked about it with the What If series. And that takes careful planning, and when stuff slips, you push everything or you rearrange your story so it makes sense. And I think Marvel has handled this pandemic really well in terms of the way they've shuffled their deck. And I think AMC is kind of dropping the ball with the interconnectivity of their series. Like, there really hasn't been a lot. And I think that's what gets people watching. And the fact that they've kind of taken the shot in the arm that World Beyond could have had with season 2 and basically said, look, like, Rick ain't coming to this show, so stop asking. I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake.
Very much a mistake. You may not need Rick to show up this season, but by the end of the season, have him come in 2 episodes before the end and be like the guy that rides in on the horse and saves them at the last minute. That would be awesome. They're not going to do that.
No. Well, they've basically said, like, if you're watching this because you think Rick's going to show up, and I get it, like, from a fan expectation standpoint, you need to set that expectation because, yes, AMC has been rightfully so kind of given some guff because they've made, like, allusions to stuff and then it hasn't panned out. And I get it. They're wanting to, like, set the expectations. But, like, you don't have an interconnected universe without having interconnectedness. And we might as well roll right into it. We got a trailer for The Walking Dead World Beyond Season 2, the final season of this spinoff series, by design, not because it was canceled, but, you know, it's going to be premiering October 3rd.
You know, I have a theory about that.
Shoot.
I think that it was originally not going to be a 2-part series. But I think executives watched the halfway point of that series and went, yeah, we need to make it clear that this is going to be 2 seasons because this is not going to do well. I think executives knew it was not going to work.
I mean,
but they had already spent too much money on it, so they had to go forward with it.
They announced it as 2 seasons and were very clear that it was before we even had our first trailer. That was like, remember they were doing press junkets with the kids.
Yeah, but they could have been filming by that point, too, and they could have known it wasn't going to work.
I think there's a worse reason, Lou, and it's that they did 2 seasons because they are going to take these characters and sort of, like, do 52-card pickup, and these characters are going to show up elsewhere.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. That's what they're going to do. They've got, like, 5 spinoff series coming. They're going to take the characters that work the best and start throwing them at the other series so that we know characters. Unfortunately, I don't think any of these characters are going to work.
Yeah, I can't. I think I like the main dude. I don't know his name, but the main dude who was like a security guard for CRM and worked with the lady who was a traitor.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably up there, but he was
probably my favorite character of the series. He was the only one I took seriously. All the kids made me want to just slap them.
Well, you're going to get that opportunity on October 3rd when the season 2 arrives.
Yeah, and they gave us a first look, and guess what? What a crappy first look.
It is straight up a continuation of, I mean, it's not really even a trailer. It really feels like here's the first couple minutes of the first episode of season 2 because it picks up right where season 1 ends.
And then they go straight into the boring part of what happened. The guy who they finally meet up with, the person they've been trying to find in the woods, they meet up with him and he goes, "Oh man, they shot at me and they killed my partner. I'm glad I found you guys." And I mean, that's pretty much the clip. And I was like, yeah, we kind of put that together from what you showed us last season.
It's not great. And, you know, we will likely watch it. You know, we'll talk about the premiere here and then we'll pause until all of it's available because it is a shortened season premiering all at once. And we will talk about it as a whole product. And yeah, we're not looking forward to it. But a few weeks after that premiere, exactly 2 weeks, you'll have Fear the Walking Dead season 7 arriving on October 17th. And we got not one, but two first looks at the series. The first 3 minutes of episode 2 and 3 focusing on Morgan and, what's her name? I can't remember her name.
Grace.
Grace, thank you. And the baby. And then the other episode was John Sr. and June. What did you think about these first looks?
I'm excited for where this is going. Especially with the Morgan stuff. The Morgan stuff immediately shows them stuck inside the sub.
Yeah. Yeah,
Which is not what I thought they were going to do. It sounds like Morgan is stuck inside the sub and that they have to make trips outside, but they are on limited supplies and they're going to have to figure out a way to get out of there. That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, and the June stuff has the potential to be interesting, but, you know, nothing deterred me from this. Everything showed me that this could has the potential to be really cool.
Yeah, they're doing something different. I think that's my favorite part about Fear is that they're trying new things and they literally launched a nuclear warhead at the end of the last season. And I think that is the definition of new when it comes to the Walking Dead series. And I really appreciate them going out on a limb and I hope more fans support Fear as sort of an interesting spinoff. We got our look at Nuclear Fallout with the Morgan preview, and it looks pretty grim. I don't imagine they'll stay there very long, but it's hard to imagine the group sort of coming together, very quickly, but we've been surprised before. But it seems like they're taking the anthology approach again, where we are getting, you know, bottle episodes of, you know, updates for specific characters. And I love that they've been able to set that up again, where at the end of season 5, they sort of took everyone and sort of spread them around. And they've done that again here. And that's not bothering us because it feels organic in the way they've done it. I hope they don't like try to one up themselves for season 8 and do it all over again. But
they've done this before. They can't do this again.
Unless they come up with something that is a creative way of doing it. I think you can't, it's going to be hard to top a nuclear sub or a nuclear warhead, but I really like that, you know, specifically the John Sr. episode where they are in the bunker that Terry had set up and the episode is sort of showcasing them being stuck in this bunker and they find the secret room where Terry had done all the murders when John Sr. was chasing him. And I think like we're going to see that continuation of you know, John Sr. chasing Terry and what has haunted him for so long. And I think like that right there is just really good world building. Cause when they added John Sr. to the show, I was like, oh, is this just a way to like, you know, let, Darren, what's the guy's name?
Garrett Dillahunt.
Yeah. Let that guy go walk off into the sunset as an actor and go to do other projects. And then you bring his dad in, but it really seems like they're going to use him for more than just a John Jr. replacement. So I'm excited to see more of that for sure. And yeah, I like that. I like that actor too. So it was if you go watch any of these trailers that we've talked about tonight, I really feel like you owe yourself as a fan of Walking Dead to go check out these two Fear the Walking Dead trailers, because they are phenomenal and really set up a cool season.
As much as I poo-pooed the way this season finale ended, and I didn't really like how the nuclear fallout happened, and I kind of was hoping it wasn't, at least they're showing me something interesting.
Yeah.
I was worried they were going to not show us nuclear fallout. They were going to just be like, oh, yeah, it was far off enough in the distance. You see Grace walking around in a hazmat suit, trying to not be exposed. This is going to be an intense season, and I think it's going to be a fun season. I literally don't know where the direction of this season is going to go.
Yeah, and if we've learned anything with the way, you know, Fear the Walking Dead has been structured in the past, I don't think they're going to be sticking around in, you know, fogland for very long. Like, I think we are going to get, the dust will quite literally clear, and we will get to, like, obviously nuclear fallout. I think the season is going to be them preparing to escape, right? And to know how that journey takes place will be, I look forward to being on that journey, because again, like, they can't, there's no way the whole season is set in these individual bunkers. Like, I believe, like, the ultimate goal will be for them to escape the nuclear fallout and go somewhere safe, because this, it's not nuclear winter everywhere. It's just this small pocket of land. They just need to be able to survive the escape, right? And it's that journey that we're going to see of them escaping and then all coming together again for whatever next threat. But, like, notice, Lou, like, they didn't introduce an insane bad guy. It's just, it's the environment again. It's great.
Yes. Will we probably have some kind of villain before the season is over? Probably. But what we're getting is definitely something that's going to be unique and different.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. And speaking of waiting, we did tease it earlier in the show. The long delayed Rick Grimes movie will be, quote, worth the wait, unquote. And this comes directly from Robert Kirkman at San Diego Comic-Con, probably during a Q&A. And yeah, like, have they even started filming? I thought they started filming, but I don't think they have yet.
They are filming, but I think that it was shut down due to a COVID outbreak.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, like, we need to see Andrew Lincoln run around again as Rick Grimes.
Like I said, they've delayed this for so long, I just don't know how much I care.
I get that side of it. And that's probably the healthy way to approach this, because honestly, you know, waiting this long in anticipation, you know, they there's a reason they say don't hold your breath. Personally, I think that they are taking their time with this. I want them to take their time with it, because I want it to be, it doesn't need to be a masterpiece. Let's not sit here and say this needs to be the best zombie movie ever made. Really and truthfully, it just needs to be a solid return for the character. That's it. I mean, I'm easily pleased by having a Rick Grimes movie just be a Rick Grimes movie. I don't need it to be, and I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Lou, but, like, do we really need it to be the bestest movie ever made? I don't think so.
No, but like I said, they keep teasing us about it. I'm done with teases. Show me something.
Yeah. Give us some character art. Like, honestly, he must have been suited up. And
I don't dislike Robert Kirkman, but I trust anything he says with a grain of salt. Yeah. He's a very good pitch man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not wrong. I mean, in the same article, they basically touch on all the Rick Grimes stuff, and that this is also where they detail, you know, Rick Grimes is not coming in The Walking Dead World Beyond season two. But honestly and truthfully, we talked about it earlier. I really would be fine. I don't need Rick Grimes to show up. Just give us something. I mean, it's been almost 2 years probably since we've had the Michonne iPhone etching scene. Like, that's the last time we got wind of anything Rick Grimes. It's been long enough. I mean, if Marvel's gonna sprinkle a Thanos tease throughout 10 years of films in every film, pretty much, like, this is your chance to have an interconnected world. And I know it's a busy apocalypse world, but
I'm trying to remember, when Michonne left, were they still fighting the Whisperers?
Yes, it was near, it wasn't the conclusion to The Whisperers. It was the season before that. So,
right. And so to me, it felt stupid. She left both her kids and she ran off to go find Rick in the middle of what might be the most dangerous thing they were in the middle of. And I was like, all right, you're a bad mom.
You're not wrong. And I know, like,
and all I kept thinking was, man, these contracts dictate these stories, and her contract is up.
Yeah. Well, she's probably going to be doing a lot more Marvel stuff with Black Panther, and I think there's probably going to be a series devoted to her character. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'd be going for the Marvel money too. Don't get me wrong. They probably pay better. Although I say that, and then just recently there was a lawsuit filed by Scarlett Johansson against Disney for Black Widow. So maybe I'm wrong.
She's suing Disney because she's mad that these things didn't go to theaters and her movie went on Disney Plus, and she had some kind of part of her contract that she got ticket sales. And since it wasn't as many ticket sales, she's mad.
Yeah, boo-hoo, I would be too.
The rich lady didn't make a lot more money. Great, I don't care.
Yeah, but when you work for a billion-dollar company, it's kind of like, yeah, they could probably have done a better job figuring that out. So
yeah, and if she doesn't give the rest of that money to charity, then she can go, never mind, I'll be nice.
She won't.
I'll be nice.
But anyways.
We don't have it here in the news, but it should also be said that Darabont won his court case against AMC recently, too.
Oh, so, did he? They settled?
Yes. Yeah. Huh. And he walked away with a bunch of money. So there's that, too.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, what... I'll have to look it up. It had not crossed my desk when I was doing a search, so it must have broke after I prepped the notes. But yeah, well, good for Frank Darabont. I really think that AMC...
I will give him more credit than Scarlett Johansson, because you know what? I don't remember the last thing I saw that Frank Darabont did, so he sounds like he has been out of work.
Yeah.
Gotta make that money somewhere.
Yep. Well, hey. Sue, yeah. Well, yeah. It is what it is. But that is going to do it for the Comic-Con news. We've got some fun plans coming up. As we mentioned, The Walking Dead returns at the end of August, so we'll be covering the season premiere after the 22nd, the week of the 22nd, that is. But to fill the gap, as we said, we'll probably talk about the Marvel Zombies episode, depending on where that lands in the rundown of episodes. But a done deal will be Black Summer, season 2 on Netflix. Lou and I discussed before the show, and we thought, hey, what should we watch? And I don't think Black Summer has been given its fair shake on this show. And I saw that season 2 takes place in winter, and I always say I want more winter zombie apocalypse stuff. Yep. So here we are. That's what we're going to do. Queue up your Netflix and do some watch-alongs, and we'll talk about it on our next episode.
I'm pretty sure our fans on Discord have already watched it, so they're waiting for us.
I know. I apologize to our fans on Discord. You can find our Discord at bit.ly/zampdiscord. And don't think I didn't forget about this.
Say bye, Stubbs.
Aww. We are going to detail now how you can enter for our Stubbs the Zombie giveaway. This is a Steam code, and if you listened all the way through the episode thinking like, oh man, what am I going to have to do? Am I going to have to answer some skill testing question or write some sort of poem that they'll read on the show? No, just let me know if you want this copy of Stubbs the Zombie on Steam, either through email, Discord, Twitter, or Facebook. Tag the Zombies podcast accounts, email us, and I will put it all into a big spreadsheet, and I will do a random number generation, and the person who wins will get a code, and we'll announce the winner on our next episode. So you have...
Woohoo! Spreadsheet!
Yeah. Essentially, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks working on the best spreadsheet. And I will say this, you have it until the end of the day, August 11th. That is a Wednesday. Right up until 11:59 p.m. Eastern, You can submit via email, Discord, Twitter, or Facebook. And the places that you will find those things are all on our website. You can go to zombies8mindpodcast.com. You'll find links to email us, our Discord, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, if you want to support us directly, you can go to patreon.com/zombies8mindpodcast. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting the show. If you're on Twitter, you can follow us individually. I'm at rmurphy. Lou is at busyzombielord. Shout out to Joel Duggan for our amazing artwork. You'll find that on our website and probably your phone in front of you, wherever you're listening to this fine podcast. But as always, I conclude the show by passing it over to the Busy Zombie Lord, who will regale us with some wonderful knowledge.
Time for me to go to bed now.